Blog Talk Radio.
This song I'm about to sing is called Miss Feely's Blues. Because she scratched it out my head when I was ailing.
Apologize for the technical difficulty that we are having on this particular evening. And my eyesight, it just lets us know that the information that we are giving out is great. This is some wonderful information. It's a lot of people out there that needs this information. And so we are going to do everything in our power to make sure that this information gets out to you. And so we just reconnected and came back. So don't worry about nothing. So make sure that you guys find out all of the information that you guys need to know about this COVID-19 pandemic and also the COVID vaccination. If you guys would like to call in and have any type of comments about what is going on, please give us a call at area code 516-453-9356. So if you guys were with us in the last hour, we are speaking to Kat Kessinger, and she is an epidemiologist, and she is very knowledgeable about infectious diseases. She has a history working for the CDC, and she has been great answering all of the questions that we have given her so far. We do have a few more questions, which we are going to dedicate 30 more minutes to this topic, and then we're going to liven it up, and we're going to end our topic out of our topic box, and we're going to include Ms. Kretzinger if she doesn't mind. So moving on, one of the last questions that we do have is, with so much distrust going on in the Black community and so many Black leaders giving information, and when I say give information, they're giving information as far as references, where to go and find this information, They're breaking down diets and different things to really persuade you in a way to feel like this vaccine is not ready to be taken and that we shouldn't trust this vaccine. Can you tell us why we should not trust our Black leaders and we should trust the vaccine?
So I guess the first thing I would say, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, fantastic. Good job with the technology switch. So I guess the first thing I would say is that you obviously are much more in tune with what is being said and promoted in your community. So you have better insight into that. So I absolutely respect that. I will say that I know that there's been a lot of effort to make outreach to all sorts of different communities where there is some degree of misinformation or reluctance or just not having as much information as possibly individuals might like to, or the access to the vaccine. And I know CDC has made really an effort to actually work with community leaders, religious leaders in the Black community and in other communities as well. So what I'm hearing from you is that possibly that hasn't been as successful as other voices have been in reaching some of the leaders in your community. And I don't think, I mean, truthfully, I think it's very important for us to work with the leaders in your community whom you trust and absolutely respect that. The one thing I will say, though, and I understand that I come from a different cultural background than many of the listeners on this podcast, is that COVID-19 is a potentially deadly disease, and it's definitely not over. We see the outbreaks that are happening in other parts of the world, which we talked about earlier in India, and the vaccine is our most effective tool to prevent it. Reasons of the testing that's gone into developing the vaccine has been incredibly solid, and the Federal Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, would not grant these vaccines the emergency use authorization without having done an extraordinarily thorough review of the tests and the data that's gone into the clinical phases of the trials. So I think the things that when you're considering whether to get the vaccine or not, it's to protect yourself, but also to protect everybody who is around you. Similar to what Rhonda was saying earlier, so the reasons to wear your mask is not just to protect yourself, although that is a huge part of it. The vaccines are extraordinarily effective, but also to protect everybody else in your community who you care about. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, Cicely, can I just say one more thing? The other thing, I think we also alluded to this earlier, is that when there's people in the community who are not protected, who get the disease and then pass it on, that's when these mutations happen and these variants that we were talking about earlier. And the variants are really concerning because we don't know, you know, if they continue to change and they continue to circulate in the population, you know, whether they are going to be more contagious, whether they're going to have a worse clinical outcome associated with them. And the best way to prevent these variants is from getting vaccinated so that the virus doesn't have a chance to circulate in the communities. So those are some of the things. But really it's to protect your community and to protect yourselves from a really potentially deadly disease.
So I'm wondering, what do we say to people who think, well, you know, I think the vaccine is scarier than COVID. What do we say to people who might believe that, you know, I'm more afraid of getting the vaccine than I am of getting COVID?
Well, I guess the first thing I would say is that I understand the fear, and I really, truly understand where it comes from and sort of the historical reasons why, especially this community, may be really skeptical about the what is being proposed. But, you know, the vaccine has been but it's really, really, really closely followed. There have been a few instances with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine of some deaths which are likely linked to it. But that's absolutely dwarfed by comparison with a number of deaths that have been caused by COVID. So while many people will say they're more afraid of the vaccine than COVID, the reality is that COVID can wreak havoc in your community, and there's been more than 500,000 deaths in the United States, and by some estimates, almost 1 million deaths in the United States already just caused by this virus.
Can we trust those statistics? That when we hear how many people died of COVID, can we trust that statistic? How much do we trust it?
Well, I think it's very much. I mean, sort of the I would have to understand. That's interesting because I've never really had that kind of question posed to me before. But truthfully, if any...
Let me tell you where it comes from, okay?
Yeah,
so
please.
It comes from healthcare professionals who see these COVID cases, okay? And there is a healthcare professional that I know of in Michigan who says that they their COVID death toll because they got more money from the state that way. And then I heard from another healthcare professional in California who said that their facility downplayed the number of COVID deaths purposely. Both of these were purposely manipulated. These numbers were purposely manipulated for other reasons. So I don't know, did they even out or, I believe these numbers. I guess maybe at the end of the day, I should say a lot of people freaking died from this. So maybe that's enough. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, typically diseases are underreported because, you know, it takes some effort to report them. So, I mean, it's around 500,000, maybe closer to 550,000 deaths have been reported. And the true number is probably much greater. And whether that 550 doesn't include or over-include some cases, it's almost inevitable that any kind of number is going to be an approximation. But I'd be so interested to hear from your listeners. I mean, how many of them know people who have died from COVID or who have had COVID? Because truly, I mean, I know so many individuals who have had the disease themselves. I have friends who have died from it. And the potential for it to cause severe consequences in any community is really heartbreaking. And the vaccines are so effective. They're amazingly effective at preventing the clinical consequences of disease.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
I do know someone that has contracted the COVID-19 vaccination, and what they stated was it was more so like the flu. And
wait, they contracted COVID or the vaccination?
The COVID.
They had
COVID. COVID-19.
Okay.
And they said COVID was more so like the flu.
Right.
And them contracting it and being more like the flu, it wasn't taken as serious.
Right.
So my question to you is, what advice would you give these particular people that have had the COVID-19, refuse to take the vaccination because they feel like they can't get it again and they're out in public partying with no mask? What type of advice would you give them?
Well, I guess the first thing we should say is that there definitely have been cases of individuals who were infected, and particularly people who had pretty mild cases, and then they get reinfected, and that's not rare at all. And particularly people who don't have a really severe clinical manifestation of the disease, like they don't get very sick, they don't have the same kind of immune response. It's just sort of the way it seems to be working out. And then they're the ones who actually are more susceptible to getting it in the future, particularly different variants. And if you'll permit me to do a little digression, this is exactly what happened in Brazil. Some of the communities in the Amazon were actually fairly devastated during the first wave of the coronavirus. And but then they relaxed because exactly the same assumption that you're making. They thought, okay, we've already suffered through this once. Fine. You know, even now everyone's had it, we're all immune. But then I was talking earlier about this Brazilian variant, and they weren't immune against that variant. And that variant came a second time. And even the individuals in those tribes in the Amazon who'd had COVID before got it a second time. And the death toll from that second time was really staggering. So, I mean, yeah, possibly. What I would say to the people who say that is they may be right, but they're, you know, gambling and they're dice. And particularly the more the virus circulates, the more in the community, the more likely it is that there will be different variants. And some of them are likely to be much more contagious. Some of them are likely to be more deadly. We just don't know what the future holds. So it's not only to protect yourself, it's also to protect the whole community.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then I have another question, and this question is mainly for me. I heard in the news that people with prior diseases or anything like that, where their immune systems are weakened, their chances of getting COVID can be detrimental to them. You know, so
deadly.
So my question is, with so many children going back to school and me having an acceptable immune system, will it be safe to send my children to school because schools have opened up, or would it be in my best interest to keep my children on homeschooling until we can make sure that the pandemic has cleared up, just to protect my safety?
Well, okay, so the great, great, super question, and really relevant to a lot of the questions people had with the return to school. So it turns out, I mentioned earlier about young adults being able to spread the disease, but when they've looked at it in school-age children, they actually are not responsible for very much of the spread of COVID-19 for a variety of reasons. And that's part of the reason why the schools are reopening. Having said that, there's any time people are congregating together, there's a risk that those people will get infected and then they can bring it home to you, particularly for you who is a high-risk individual. So particularly for somebody who's at high risk, who has other medical conditions, it's so important to become vaccinated because, you know, what the vaccine does is it may not always protect you against getting some degree of infection, but it will definitely protect you against getting severely ill, being hospitalized, and dying from the disease. So, I mean, if you have the option to get vaccinated, then, and you've gotten your two doses, if you're getting Moderna or Pfizer, then you should probably be okay with the kids going back to school. It's in city settings where you can't get vaccinated that would be really kind of a little bit tricky.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, we are down to our last 10 minutes speaking about the COVID pandemic.
Oh, there's so much. This pandemic is huge, and it's been on our minds for 14 long months.
Yes, it has.
God.
What a year. So what we're going to do is we're just going to go around. I have been speaking to me and Rhonda, so a chance if you have any questions or any comments that you would like to state about this or ask Mrs. Katrina.
Well, first of all, I would like to say it's a pleasure meeting you, Katrina, and thank you for all of the wonderful knowledge that you have blessed us with today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Anything else, Renee? I think she has a question. I just wanted to say thank you as well. It has been so much of a pleasure to have you on the show, and the knowledge that you have given, I really believe it would help to bridge the gap between those that do not believe in the vaccine and those that have taken the vaccine. And hopefully it can also persuade the minds of those that have been listening to their leaders to just, you know, investigate the vaccine instead of just writing it off just because. So I really appreciate that. And I just do. I really appreciate it. And we're going to go, Rhonda's going to go ahead and say her last comment. And we wanted to know, would you join us in a box question, Ms. Katrina?
I have no idea what a box question is, but I'll try.
Go for it.
You know, I had a feeling. See, on this show, there's usually six of us. There's a family emergency, so now there's three of us. Today, but then we have Katrina, so remotely, there's actually four of us ladies, but normally there's six of us, and we have a box of topics, and what we do is usually on Thursday nights is we just pick a random topic out of a box, nobody knows what it's going to be, it can be a horrifying topic, I mean, some of these are really crazy. Yeah, it's really not going yet.
Yes.
I
listen
one.
To the show.
Yeah, yeah. Some are just freaking insane. You can't believe anyone's like saying these words out loud. And some of them are really serious. So, well, we never know what it is. And we just, you know, give our opinions and what our feeling is. You know, just as sisters hanging out and talking, and nothing is wrong. No opinion is wrong. And if we step on toes or hurt a feeling, we are sorry. Sometimes it's alcohol involved, and we get a little,
sounds like fun.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Right.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
For our listeners out there, if you have any questions for Ms. Katrina, please give us a call in so that way we can address those questions. If not, go on to our link at blogtalkradio.com/Blacktopia Live and just leave your questions in the comment section and we'll make sure we get them to Katrina to get the answers for you.
Yes.
All right, and we are going to ask our guest tonight to pull the famous topic.
Here I go. Here we go. Pick them up. Close my eyes. What we got?
And here we go.
Oh my
this
goodness.
Is what a coincidence.
What?
We just spent a whole hour and a half talking about this COVID testing.
Another one.
All right,
let's see what we
get. Here we go, mix them up real good. Let's do something different.
I'm sure it will be different. I can't tell from the look on her face.
Me neither.
What do you think of the stimulus check, and how was it beneficial to you?
Oh,
thank God for this check. Okay, I paid bills with my stimulus check.
Oh, boy.
It was a godsend.
Good.
Well, for me, the stimulus check was very beneficial to me. As you guys all know, I was stricken down by cancer. And so for the year 2020, I did nothing but cancer treatments and surgeries. So it was kind of hard for me to go to work. So I ended up starting my own business. And keep that funded, the stimulus right on time, to keep that funded for me and everything like that. So I really appreciated the stimulus. But I do want to say something about the stimulus. I do. I just want to know, where is all this money coming from?
Oh,
Exactly.
Is it that simple?
It's that simple.
It's,
like
but there's
print
a,
it
no, it's not that simple.
Yes, they can print it, and the more they print it, the less value you would have.
Mm-hmm.
So then you get inflation. And
which is happening, which is starting to happen now.
Yeah.
With the rise of the minimum wage and everything else is going up. Cash is rising.
I'm usually worrying about stuff like this. And how are we going to pay this rent?
Exactly.
I'm really, 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 really worried about paying our debt back. I think it's going to cripple America. And you know, I could just put my two cents.
Go for it.
I have a job. I have a government job because of COVID. So I am paid well, and I send out pandemic assistance to businesses that need it. And I feel like this is a very important, this is my very well plan to get money in the hands of businesses who hire people, who purchase from other businesses, who sell things, who, you know, I just feel like all this money flows right back into our economy. The money we put into the businesses flows right back out. I absolutely believe that. And I also believe that people are hurting. People are hurting, and that stimulus check did save some lives. I feel like that was just a crapshoot. It was just sent out to everybody. You know, I feel bad. I have a job because of COVID. I did not need the stimulus check.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt really guilty taking the stimulus check. And then I realized that they're going to raise my business's taxes to pay for this. So I thought, well, okay, I'll keep it and I'll just give it back in my taxes like next year. But I should have figured it's going back. I feel like the government can't make a law or they can't target the places that actually need it the most. They're just too big, and they don't have their boots on the ground like the rest of us. They don't know what households are experiencing, and I think it is really impossible for the government to target that to the people that really, really, really need it. But I feel like I got money that I didn't need, and I feel bad about that.
Katrina?
Yeah, thank you for the question. I actually never got my stimulus check, so hopefully it will arrive at some point. But I actually sort of agree with Rhonda. I mean, I am less concerned about the inflation, although we may see inflation. But I do think that I have a job. I'm working as an epidemiologist. I'm super happy that it's going to individuals. I mean, I feel so fortunate because I've had the same job throughout this whole pandemic. But people who lives have been disrupted, and there's so many of us whose lives have really do need this. So if I never receive it, that's okay. So I haven't had the chance to spend it on anything yet. In any case, but I sort of agree with Rhonda.
You're out there fighting the
Elves
and singing the Hills Are Alive, and yeah, we see you on Facebook.
If you can't use your stimulus check, just send yours right on over to me.
If I ever get it.
All right. We still have enough time for a few more questions. So Randy gets to pull another
topic. Here we go, y'all. Another topic. Hot topic. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
The topic of Felicio.
Oh. Oh. Oh.
Well, I think I happen to be a professional with a PhD in fellatio.
Randy,
a PhD in fellatio.
Oh, wow. Okay. Are you there, Katrina?
I am. I can barely hear you, though. What was the question?
Oh, it was fellatio. So I was wondering, Randy has a PhD in fellatio. And I was wondering if Harvard had a class on fellatio.
Oh, my goodness. I will say that one of my friends, I don't know about that, but who is an epidemiologist, she works in more of the reproductive health and sexually transmitted diseases. So she has to go through and understand, and this actually when I worked in HIV was much more the case, you know, discuss like the specific risks associated with every possible kind of sexual act, including fellatio, including everything else you can possibly imagine. It was like everyday conversation.
Wow.
Wow. I bet you learned a lot. I've learned a lot, I'm sure.
Yeah, I learned things that I really hadn't been familiar with before.
Well, I'm curious to what you learned about fellatio.
Well, I...
To fellatio, of course, always.
So this is all for fellatio, and I happen to know how Cicely feels about that.
That's right. Thumbs down.
Mm-hmm.
Not enough money.
No.
And
Deshaun,
not
enough money.
Not enough
bad for my brother-in-law.
I'm still working on it, you know.
Oh.
I'm working on it. I try to give it some effort.
Working on her gagging.
Well, you know, I'm working on how much I can actually drink. Because once I'm drunk, I think I can, like.
No, you don't
want to
throw up during
the fellatio.
Oh. It's not.
I don't think he wants you to throw up on it.
No, no. He's
drunk, she's going to fall asleep before the fellatio starts.
She's in a glass
door. That's me. Oh, my goodness. This is so hilarious. So, Rhonda, we're going to move it on to Rhonda. What do you have for us to talk about the NAPAC?
Oh, I don't know. Let's see what we got in the box. It's the year 2020.
I think we did that.
We did that last time.
Yes.
We did do the year 2020 because it was, wow, it was really... really quite the year.
Okay, what do you have?
Oh.
Oh.
Polygamy?
Polygamy. Oh, let's talk about polygamy.
Really? I can't think of a thing.
To say about
well,
polygamy?
Well, I think, do I get to be the first wife or the second wife?
Or
talks about how you should act if you're the first wife or the second wife. But I just
want
to be the only wife, so I have to say that's a no for me.
Katrina?
Yeah, there's a lot of cultures where polygamy seems to be just the norm. It's outlawed in this country. Wouldn't be for me, but I don't know if I have much more of an opinion than that. I think there's possibly some benefits to the woman, but it's mostly for the benefit of the man, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, I think I'd rather be the
only one.
Okay. What about you, Randy?
I'm open to the idea.
Okay.
I guess it just depends on who I would be in that type of relationship with.
Okay.
But,
well, me.
Do you think you could jealous of the other wife?
No, because I'm just not the jealous type, personally.
You are an angel.
Like, well, I have a different set of beliefs. I really believe that men are in their natural state. It's not natural for a man to be monogamous. That's what I truly believe.
Oh. Is there science that set up to that? I think there is science to back that up.
Well, for sure. I mean, you know, men, you know, are successful in a reproductive way the more children they can father. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they can father an infinite number of kids. So it makes sense,
yeah,
you know,
totally,
for men to be polygamous and not monogamous.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, a woman can only have a limited number of children and only one or two at a time. But you know what I'm saying? So there's really no reproductive advantage to women from being, from having more than one husband.
Right. So, you know what? Let me tell you, in polygamy, so I thing is, I studied polygamy. Okay, you guys, I studied polygamy. Can you hear me?
You did?
Yes.
Yeah.
I studied polygamy, and when I was studying polygamy, as a matter of fact, I was studying it last year, and the reason why I was studying polygamy is because, as you guys know, Blacktopia is a social club, and it's for women, and we have a women's convention every year, and one of the ladies came to the women's convention, and she's a polygamist, and by her being a polygamist, I was really, really interested because I did not understand, and the little that I did know about polygamy was from what I've seen on TV and, you know, when with the orders and different things like that. And it seems so harsh, but there are so many people in the African-American community that are turning to polygamy. And there's two different types of polygamists. So there's the polygamist that where the man has more than one woman. Then there's the opposite where the woman has more than one husband. Yes, and they are saying that it is for a polygamist, it's more than sex, and it's more than the monogamous relationship that they're seeking. They're seeking stability, and they're seeking a tradition of their own versus normal society. So when you have, say you have a man that has two or three women, where you have this strong man that's going out and he's a breadwinner, but you have these three women that know their role in the relationship too. So you might have two of them that's breadwinners too, that's out there with the father, with the man to make sure everything is maintained. Then you might have one that stays home and she schools the children and, you know, she makes sure the children are taken care of, and they build a system and they make that system work for them. So that way it can be more beneficial and give them more of a more stability. So that's what I found through my study. Am I willing to participate in polygamy? I think that American culture has taught me that monogamy is the way that we should go. And because that has been what I have been force-fed all my life, I don't think that I will be so acceptable to change. You know, I do think that jealousy will come up. I do think that because, you know, it's hard for me to get along with too many queens. I'm just going to say that. You put too many queens in the same building for a long period of time, chaos is going to happen. And I truly believe in that. So I don't have time for it. I want to know that at the end of the day, that's my man. I want to know at the end of the day, this is my house. I want to know at the end of the day, those are my kids, and I'm instilling the morals that I want in my kids. I want to know at the end of the day that money is in my bank account. Mm-hmm. See, these are all the things that I need to feel secure in, and a polygamous relationship, I don't think would give me that.
You know, and I'm thinking, too, you're looking for support. And I think in this day and age, you know, we don't have the support that we used to have when you live with your parents, even after you were married and the grandparents were in the house or they lived next door, you all lived in the same house. And you all supported each other. You know, we have, I think, less support or more of a loose support. So I can see where polygamy would bring support to a family that would need it. Or I think, you know, we can just hopefully have a real strong friends and family group that have our back too. And then we don't have to share a husband. Or have more than one husband. I could not handle that, I'll tell you right now.
Wow. That was very interesting because I mean, I was so intrigued with the whole polygamous thing. I am not going to lie, you guys. When I first heard about this, I was like, wait a minute. These women living together, it's more beneficial for the man. This is what I was thinking the whole time. And then I found out about polyamory, which is another form of polygamy. Yes, and that's where the woman has more than one husband. So then I thought about that too. So, you know, could I be the woman that had more than one husband? Like, how would that be? And then I thought about it. I was like, well, if it's anything like my sex life now, it would be great. It would be great, you know what I'm saying? If that's what we were basing it on, if it was anything on my sex life, you know, because, you know, adding another one to it ain't nothing but more pleasure, you know? Hey, for real, so like, you know, when my neck is a little tingly, one can lick and one can do what they're supposed to do, you know? I'm just saying, you know, and I thought about that, and it was just that I couldn't see myself giving myself to two guys. I just, at one time. You know, I think a train. That's what I think about, train.
The train ran on her.
Yes, that's what I think about. Actually, she grew up in a polygamous household. Her father and her mother were polygamists.
Interesting.
Yes. Yes, and she has several brothers and sisters. And right now today, when I first met her, she was with another gentleman, and she introduces polygamy to the male. It's not the male introducing polygamy to her. Yeah, it is very interesting. And right now she's with another gentleman, but she is so happy. They got this relationship after she had broken up with her previous boyfriend, and they stayed in this relationship for a good year. And for the past like 4 months, she's been posting her, the other lady that's in the relationship with him. And they are all so happy. You know, they're living their best life, and they have no complaints. They're not jealous of each other. And when she's asked about that, she'll let them know that jealousy is not in her spirit. You know, yeah, and so therefore getting jealous, she doesn't have time for that. She doesn't allow it to enter her spirit. What she does allow to enter her spirit is love, and she can see the love between those two, and the love between those two makes her love them even more.
Wow. That is, like, so inspiring. It's a fantastic story, but really true that she is exceptional. I don't know that most of us have that elevated level of consciousness to not be jealous in that kind of a setting.
But like you said, again, I believe that we don't have, most of Americans don't have that in them, because we were conditioned and raised to believe in monogamy and not polygamy. And I think that's what keeps so many people closed-minded to the idea.
Right. And in so many other societies and so many cultures, polygamy is actually the common, very much the norm in a lot of particularly Muslim societies in like West Africa, for example. And it's just, they seem to get along with it pretty well. And everything that you were saying about sort of the shared responsibilities for the different kinds of tasks, I think that all exists. But I'm pretty sure the women do get jealous of one another. I don't think that everyone can be like this woman who seems quite upsetting.
well, no one can get along with anyone all the time.
I can't even get along with my husband.
He's a nice guy.
He might seem like a nice man, but we bump heads. So just imagine another queen in the house that's trying to claim the throne. It will not happen. I just can't see myself doing it. I think I will be the alpha female, and if things doesn't go my way,
yes,
then there will be an issue.
I don't even know you, but definitely you'd be the alpha female.
That just means you don't need to invite another alpha female.
Unfortunately, I don't even have time to find out what type of female you are, because the only thing that I see, I know me, and I know what I require of my husband. And so therefore, I can't have another woman coming in requiring the same things. You can't even require one of the same things. I'm going to get jealous, or I'm going to have a problem or issue and, you know, and feel like my stuff is being given away, like, you know, or he's choosing her over me or something like that. So, like, take, for example, he normally takes me out to dinner. But tonight he tells me, oh, I'm not taking you out to dinner like I normally do. I'm going to take her out to dinner. Oh, what the hell is going on here? Well, we all going to go out to dinner because you normally take me, or she got to go. That's right. That's right. Do you see how I would be? So it's not for me.
Yes, yes, yes.
All right. So my turn, you guys. And we have 13 minutes left.
Oh,
wait a minute. We have that.
Now she's being cheated.
No, that was fellatio. Oh, all right. Wait a minute. This is a good one. Things that are more important in a relationship than looks and money.
Oh.
Respect.
Oh. Respect.
Communication.
Personality.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Sense of humor. Oh my gosh, there's so many things.
Respect and communication are very, very big for me.
I couldn't get past the looks and money.
You can't get past
that. Wow. Oh, superficial.
So now let me tell you why. I can't get past that. Yeah. So the thing about it is, that's the first, I'm not going to say the money, but looks are the first thing that attracts you to a person 9 times out of 10. So, just take example, when somebody comes up to you and they can, to you, they're not attractive. Hey, Randy, how you doing? Can I get your phone number? First thing you'll look at is they're ugly. No. Right?
No, not necessarily.
Yeah,
not necessarily.
See, I don't know. I just feel like a lot of people, when you first meet someone, the only thing that you can base anything on is the attraction or the look.
Okay. Were you completely attracted to your spouse when you first met him?
Was I completely attracted to him? He has some,
without knowing anything else about
so
him.
So let me tell you this. He has some attractive qualities.
See the qualities, right?
So when I say attractive qualities, you know, I liked his swag. I liked it, the way he carried himself. I loved his dreads. The fact that they hung longer than my hair was just amazing.
So, but we're not talking about style.
So I'm telling you, I'm telling you what attracted to me, what attracted him to me, you know, why I was attracted to him. When I first seen him, I'm like, okay, this dude got some swag. Okay, look at those shreds on him. Okay, he got some potential. Okay, well, if he come over and say hi, I'm going to do one number. Okay. So that's what I did. I'm going to be honest. And when he came over to me, because I had already had that attraction when I seen him, it was quick for me to give him my number. And once I gave him my number and we started talking, I then became attracted to the other qualities. But when I first met him, the only thing I can base it on was the looks and my attraction to him.
So you're saying it's a split second thing, because, you know, I may be thinking, if you talk to somebody, if you for like 5 minutes,
mm-hmm.
I don't think you need a lot of time. You know,
so this is no words exchange. Okay, yeah. So like you guys haven't had a conversation. So take this as a random stranger. You never had conversation with this stranger, and this stranger comes up to you and says, hey, Rhonda, can I have your phone number? You know, he has a long, maybe he has a long, dirty beard or something. The way he shaves his beard might not be attractive to you. Or something about him just turns you, like when he comes to you, it can just be, he's looking at you, just turns you up. I'm not attractive
to you.
You weren't married, and just a random guy you never met before comes up to you, never gave you any conversation, say, hi, Miss Lady, you looked adorable from standing around the way, and I just wanted to know if I could have your number. You never met this person.
Yeah.
How do you know to give them your number?
I know because I read their body language. Here's a book. Malcolm Gladwell wrote a book, Blink. And in it, he talks about, I love Malcolm Gladwell.
I've never read him. He's amazing.
But he talks about how your body, your brain, will process so many things in a split second. And it works so fast, you're not even conscious of everything that your brain processes. So I can process someone coming up to me. I can tell if they're predatory. I can tell if they're dangerous. I can tell if they're horrible. I can tell if they're kind. I can tell all kinds of things in a split second just looking at them. So I can, if you're super attractive and all my warning bells go off, you're not getting my number. If you're not attractive, but you smiled and I can see by your language that you're a decent person, you might get my number.
Interesting. Okay. That's interesting. Okay. Okay. And I will say there is a few other things that I think is important in a relationship. You had said respect was very important in a relationship, but I also think that it's what's important in a relationship is a man that knows his role as a husband, as a spouse. That's very important because I can't have a man playing my role.
Oh, yeah.
And what I mean by that is, I was raised where there are certain qualities that a woman should uptake when she's in a relationship. Like far as like my mom with my stepdad, she was awesome, because this was the relationship that I was able to see. She was very awesome. She had his back. But there were certain things that he did, as a woman that showed her role. And that was making sure us as children were taken care of. Even though my stepfather was there to nourish us and give us whatever we needed, it was my mom that was there that played the major role. As far as my dad, like she knew her role. And when it came to repair, she knew that my stepdad could not repair nothing. Kind of reminds me of my husband, but she knew that. And so what she would do, because she knew her role, she would butter my dad up. Yeah, honey, sure. When you come home from work, you can fix that. It'd be ready. I'm going to sit back and watch you do it. But before my dad can get home, she done already called the repairman and had it fixed because she already knew. Yeah, because she already knew that he couldn't repair it, but he was going to get in there and he would try it. And see, that's what I mean by knowing your role. And he knew his role as a husband. He was very appreciative to it, He went out there. He was a hard worker. He respected her with everything that he had, and he was just a man. He knew his role as a man in the family. He wasn't trying to take over her role and forget about his, or allowing her to take over his role. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so, take, for example, in my household, my husband knows his role is a provider. He knows that. He knows that not only is he a provider, that he has to be a man around here because we have boys. We have three boys that we raise. And so he has to show them how to be a man. He knows that. My husband knows that, hey, around here, you got to take care of the hard work. I can't do as far as going out there doing the yard work, far as washing the cars and different things like that. But he knows that when it comes to this household, I'm going to make sure that everything is taken care of, in the inside of the house. I'm going to make sure the kids go to the doctor's appointment. So I think it's very important in a relationship that we know our roles and we play our roles.
They say that if you educate the women or take care of the women, people take care of the future.
Yes.
Because we bring up the next generation.
We
nurture it.
Even though the father
has a huge
part of
it.
Right.
All right. You're coming in so faint, but I think it's hard though. Just to follow up on what you were saying about people knowing their roles, is that a lot of times people aren't in relationships, so they have to step out of that natural role. Or when one person doesn't fit into the sort of typical masculine or feminine kind of role. And the other person has to somehow adapt to that. But, I mean, I think in an ideal world you've described between a husband and a wife sounds actually like the ideal. And it creates a lot of discomfort when people can't actually assume those roles. I think you're right.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, that was our last question tonight. We had two wonderful guests on our show. We had Randy and we had Mrs. Katrina, and they were both awesome. They were so awesome. And I would like to also let Miss Katrina know that she was our first educated guest. So we really appreciate you being here. And we enjoyed digging from the box and getting topics and allowing you to put your input in. So that was so great. We're gonna go around.
So much fun.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
So Katrina, what we're gonna do is we're gonna go around the circle, Katrina and Randy. We're gonna say our final goodbyes. How we say our final goodbyes is we introduce ourselves and we just say something nice. Whatever comes to your head, let it flow. So my name is Cicely, and I feel so much more enlightened thanks to Mrs. Katrina.
My name is Rhonda, and I just hope that people found answers here tonight if they were looking for answers, and you know, explore a little bit, because it's all about taking care of each other and ourselves, especially as we're COVID last year. So take care of yourself, guys.
My name is Randy, and I just want to say thank you guys for inviting me to your show. It was great. I had a wonderful time, and I can't wait to come back.
Yay. Mrs. Katrina.
Yes, hi. Thank you so, so much. You are a wonderful hostess, a great show. I had so, so much fun. And I really, really hope that I help provide a few answers, and I'm very happy to be available to any of your listeners. If there's anything they want to follow up with, please don't hesitate to link together, Cicely. I'd be happy to talk offline. And just really, I hope everyone does actually think seriously and take the vaccine to protect yourselves and also to protect everyone that you love in your community. That's it. Thanks again.
Thank you so much. Well, we are going to head out, and as you guys know, we head out with one of our favorite songs, I Am. So we'll see you guys next week, Thursday, same time, 6 o'clock. Love you all, Sister Co.
It's like the morning time, don't want to wake up, I just want to stay in bed. But if I'm next to you, I'm looking forward to just laying in this bed. Ooh, they never get old, promise you'll never let go. I don't want no one else, so we should be chilling back. Ain't nothing wrong with that. So tell me that, tell me that, tell me on the best I am. I'll be feeling like yes I am, I am. You know I'm the best I am. You're a fool to not take me as I am. Tell me I'm the best I am. Feeling like yes, I am, I am. You know I'm the best, I am. You'd be a fool to not take me as I am. You're like the sweetest thing I know, like my favorite lonely song, and I need you really bad. Don't take me for granted, you'll be